I have been a viewer of yours for around 11 years, coincidentally the length of my marriage, much to my wife's annoyance. Your stream is the soundtrack of my life when I am not working. I agree with you on most political issues, but diverge strongly on two. Your dog shit food takes, which are a crime, and your general posture on Israel-Palestine. I am not here to rehash the arguments of the other poster, scold you, ask you to feel a particular way, or condemn a particular place, but I'm here to ask you for moral clarity. I have some sympathy for the difficulty of your position. I spent 6 months volunteering in the occupied West Bank over two separate trips. I was based in Nablus, and I saw just enough to know the conflict does not simplify on contact. When you went to Israel, I was optimistic, and credit where it is due. Actually, going somewhere is a radical act in a media landscape full of people who have very strong feelings about conflicts. They have observed explicitly through Twitter. You're another guy. You got on a plane. You talked to people with respect, but something strange happened on that trip, or maybe afterwards. The more you learned about the history, the mechanics, the contested narratives, the more detached and black-pilled you seemed to grow. The knowledge accumulated, but it felt like the empathy was left behind. Okay. Recently, a chatter called on you to declare Israel evil. The framing was simplistic enough to make serious people stop caring, which is a shame, because underneath it sat a real question. I do not want you to declare Israel evil. I want something harder, an updated heuristic. I want the same public rigor you bring to every other subject brought to bear on this one plainly and without hedging. I like Adam Mockler's approach of consistently demanding moral clarity from leaders. I'm applying the standard to you. In the early weeks after October 7th, you said something on stream to the effect of, obviously the Israeli response has to be proportionate. What, did I say that? Proportionate is like one of the most retarded ways to measure responses to anything. If tens of thousands of people die, that would clearly be too far. I don't think I've ever said that in my entire life. You would never measure. Like if somebody 9-11'd us, well, we got 9-11'd. And like they killed like 2,500 or 3,000 civilians, then it wouldn't be like, okay, well, we have to kill 3,000 of their people. But, okay. You set a threshold that most reasonable people would agree to. I don't think I ever set a threshold. The closest I think I ever came to setting a threshold was I think I said that, like, if the death toll got over, like, 50,000, I don't think the international community or maybe even Israel could bear it if the number climbed too high. But I don't think I would ever measure the morality or the justification or the conduct of a war in terms of just a death count. It would be, like, actions related. That threshold was crossed, then crossed again, then crossed again. Gaza has been flattened. The West Bank is under assault. Southern Lebanon is being occupied. Millions are already displaced, and Iran is a disaster. Yet the community feels like it still has not moved on from October 7th. Part of being liberal is being able to disaggregate, to criticize the Israeli state without being treated as though you've just enlisted in Hamas, and to oppose this war without having your motives interrogated. The neoconservatives who have colonized parts of this subreddit make these topics so annoying to touch that nobody wants to examine them here anymore. Is that true? I feel like we either banned or a lot of the crazy Israelis left a long time ago, after my criticisms, especially of Israel, became more apparent. I feel like the most annoying people, though, are these random, like, pro-Pali dick sucks that show up and then start posting, like, all this retarded shit. The refugee issue alone should demand more attention. You've argued rightly that forcing someone from the only home they have ever known is among the worst things you can do as a human being. Most of the people that are considered refugees, though, were born outside of Palestine. Okay, hold on, sorry. Before I finish wasting my time on reading the rest of this. Holy fucking shit. This is the number one fucking mind rot issue. Jesus Christ, but okay. The detachment that serves you so well in debate becomes something else when the subject is mass civilian death. Tone is not private when you set the epistemic weather for tens of thousands of people who take cues from you. There has been a noticeable chilling effect on this subreddit for several years. Inside this community, people who want to express genuine horror at what is happening in Gaza preemptively qualify themselves into incoherence. It's just weird to post like every update of like somebody died in the West Bank and now we have to all be genuinely horrified or whatever. Like we wouldn't do this for literally any other conflict. It just feels weird. I don't know what the point is. We're not updating our positions on anything. We're just like gasping in horror. There are plenty of other subreddits where you can post like the daily Israel bad or the daily Palestine bad or whatever. I'm sure there are a few pro-Israel subs on that as well. But I think we try to ban that on both sides. I don't think we see any of this posted anymore. If we do, we delete both of those threads. Because I don't think a pro-Palestine activist carries a social cost most would rather not pay. Also, what do you mean for several years? October 7th, the war is not going on for several years. It depends on what you mean by several. But because does three or two count as several? Oh, we're in 2026 now. Does three count as... No, three is not several. Several's got to be five or six at least. Every essay posted here on the Middle East gets brigaded by people who have plainly found this subreddit a useful venue for laundering IDF talking points. Is this true? We're link a post. I feel like every post I see gets, when they're brigading, it's always by crazy fucking pro-Pali brigaders. Am I wrong on that? I could be wrong. Maybe there are other things I don't see. I'm pretty sure the last one that got played was most of the people were... I feel like the people I was banning, were they? No, I think in the last one, actually, they might have been downvoted. Maybe? I don't remember. Link it to me. We can go check. I know that the video I did on this, there were a ton of fucking people who were ass-pained as fuck about me. I feel like it comes in waves. Oh, maybe. Yeah, it might depend on, like, the hour or the day or what just recently happened or whatever. Almost 60% of shut up, loser! Destiny do things that he criticized Jordan Peterson for in order to not criticize Israel. This is unironically Destiny's Vietnam. 400 thumbs up based. I just think you're extremely generous with Israel. 684 upvotes based. Oh, the thread for the video was friendly towards me, but I feel like this was the counter jerk wave. I'm curious what the thread that spawned that I'm going over in this video, because this one, the comments are nice towards me. Good. Hell yeah, that's my community should be. Okay. Read my last message. Many of the same apologists amplifying the chilling effect are also pro-Iran war. In my subreddit? Have there been people supporting the war against Iran in my subreddit? Mr. Mouton. You build this community on the premise that you follow the evidence wherever it leads. The update is overdue. Pro-Iran war shells and neocons should be no more welcome here than tankies. As Tim Miller put it, we need to align the Democrats with the anti-war movement, and we need to do it now. Bibi and Trump are joined to the hip. We need moral clarity where other leaders are failing. There's a line from Chaplin's The Great Dictator I keep thinking about. Our knowledge has made us cynical, our cleverness hard and unkind. We think too much and feel too little. Love you, buddy. Jesus Christ. Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. Okay. I think we've been most of the pro-pallies. Or we're in the counter-jerk wave, and the counter-counter will be here soon. I think some would like a stronger, updated tone and stance regarding Israel. Because this is not what you want. What you want me to say is, we should completely and totally cut ties with Israel, no matter what. It's over. We need to completely, totally leave the whole Middle East. We need to be gone. That's what you're looking for. There's probably a point where I would feel that way, but that point is just going to be so far down the road that I'm, like, that's a, yeah. I don't even think I was in favor of cutting Russia's access off from SWIFT. I would have to go back and watch a video at the time, because I'm not sure if threatening, like, international financial systems like that is worth it. Even if it meant cutting Russia out of payments, I'll have to go back and look and see what I said, but that, my God, is it that's what I would have said at the time. You were very apprehensive to it? Yeah, because it looked like the entire world might abandon that system. One of the problems is that this issue feels astroturfed as fuck. True! Why does everyone want to talk about this conflict in particular? True! What about Ukraine? It's going to be bombed weekly, if not daily, you'll be able to hear it. True! Ukraine doesn't hurt Democrats in America. That's why. The entire political objective and actual outcome of the Palestinian protest / US-Palestinian movement was to harm Democrats and by extension the United States. I think we barely hear about it because it's much more black and white. This is partially true. However, I will say, be careful, because the same super pro-lefties that are pro-Palestinian, those people don't really agree with that position. They think that, I mean, look at Hassan's position, that Russia taking over Crimea was largely justified, that NATO expansion was threatening Russia, that maybe Ukrainians were ethnically cleansing or genociding Russians in the Donbass. Like, be careful on this. Like, there are going to be people like me who, like, I really don't talk about Ukraine Russia that much because of this, because it is pretty clear-cut and one-sided. But for a lot of people, they don't necessarily support Ukraine, that are, like, these really far left. Yeah, they think Euromaidan was a CIA coup and shit, yeah. It's not about policy. This isn't a here's how to fix the Middle East type post. He's asking for Destiny to be more openly sympathetic about Israel Palestine tragedies, to not talk like the IDF are both an immoral army and a moral means to an end, and to encourage the community to be nice to people expressing horror about what the IDF did. But in better words than I just did now, the problem is I don't care. I just realized I don't give a fuck about this. Never mind. Okay. I'm sorry, but you're not going to convince me that Destiny doesn't have the ability to make his position clear. If people complained about that, that would be a different issue. Like, that long Reddit post seemed like it was asking for clarity, not to confirm a belief. The notion of concern trolling is rooted DGG since the Mr. Girl days. Holy shit, rare Mr. Girl fan in chat? The guy is not asking for moral clarity. The guy is asking for me to say we should cut all ties from Israel. I don't know how much more, if you've listened to any of the conversations or any of the speaking I've had on Israel, I don't know how much more moral clarity there could be. Like, there are things that I've universally condemned. There are actors in that country that I can't fucking stand. I know what else. You're pretending that you're looking for moral clarity, but what you're looking for is just like a universal condemnation of the country and then the advocacy that we completely abandon the country in all friendly terms. That's what you're looking for. You can just say that, though, but you can't say that because you're cringe. Also, the saying that my subreddit is getting taken over by neocons and, oh my God, the fuck out of here. And IDF people, let's be real. The sub was a little IDF filled for a hot minute there. Didn't I literally just say this? Didn't I say that, like, right after the whole October 7th stuff? Because I basically had the only community on the internet that didn't fucking hate Jews. There were a lot of Israeli people and Jewish people that were kind of flocking to the sub. I've said this. Never mind. Okay. It's all good. Oh, it's Destiny. I don't know. That's, like, here's, like, the worst case scenario, okay? This would be the absolute worst thing that could ever happen, okay? The danger of cutting Russia off from SWIFT, okay? The weaponization of financial transactions like that is that if Russia was truly cut off from the Western world, they can do whatever the fuck they want. Now they don't care. Now you have nothing you can use against them, right? Imagine if it was the case. Holy shit! Am I using the same arguments with Russia that I literally used to describe why we shouldn't completely cut off our relationship with Israel? Oh, crazy! Wow! What the fuck? What are the chances, huh? The places like Truth Social or these other weird media sites, imagine if they actually grew to be huge and they actually rival that of Twitter. Now you've got a whole mass of people that can openly talk about Nazi shit with no moderation and you have nothing to use against them. Wow, crazy. 3 years ago. Good job. Where are all of the Ukrainians getting mad at me in my community? So he sees Russia and Israel as the same? No, I just don't have a 4-year-old's view of foreign policy to where if somebody does something bad or an ally does something bad, or even a lot of bad things, you just cut them off completely and you totally fucking abandon the region. That's a retarded fucking view of everything. It's the most retarded view. The Luffy Ducky guy or whatever who was in chat was spamming earlier in chat. He's like, Destiny, doesn't it seem like you have... This is what I was asking about in chat yesterday. We were talking yesterday. Destiny, wasn't this exactly what I was asking about yesterday? No, motherfucker. The people that come in that are anti-Israel are like, we should completely, totally drop all ties with that region, right? We should completely, totally abandon, completely leave the entire fucking region, right? We gotta completely fucking get the fuck out of the region. This isn't even like... The Israel-Palestine war in Gaza isn't even like the 10th worst thing that's happened in the Middle East in like the past like 2 decades. Like, you're insane. Well, 2 decades. Oh, maybe not the past 2 decades. The past like 5 decades. Probably not even the 10th worst thing that's happened in the past 5 decades, okay, in the Middle East, all right? Jesus. Yvette Nicole Brown of Community calls out Hassan and the both sides of the same leftists on Threads. The both sides of the same folks got us here. Neither of those women would have us out here like this, but no, you twits just had to find fault with the women each time. Uh-oh. Hashtag Hillary Clinton was the right choice. At Kamala Harris was the right choice. Neither was evil. We now know evil. One of these Hollywood retards ever shut the fuck up. Kamala was declaring how soft Trump is on Iran, and she was gloating about Dick Cheney endorsing her. She'd probably be even worse. My face when I wake up in the morning and I open Kamala Harris's Twitter and she's tweeting about how tonight we're going to end a civilization. Like, really, bro? Schumer takes no action as even far right calls for Trump impeachment. It's the Senate minority. What can he do? He can't introduce legislation or call for a vote on anything. What is he supposed to do? He literally can't do anything. No? Can you? You can't. You need the Senate majority leader to call for votes or to floor or to bring legislation out or whatever. Now, oh, this guy's here. Alternate headline: majority of Republicans completely fine with the batshit insane behavior. What the fuck do these columnists think Democrats can do? Republicans are using Trump as a shield, allowing him to wreak havoc. And the media's like, well, Dems, what are you going to do about this? The House impeaches, not the Senate. Oh, that's true too. You have to start impeachment from the House as well.
You see, something you mentioned earlier, you said that if the tariff stuff didn't happen, then you think there would be a high possibility of Europe getting involved in the Iron War. Just curious, do you think that the Ukraine war is worse for Europe than what's happening right now in the Iran for their economies and, like, you know what I mean, right? Like,
I'm like 99% certain the answer is yes on that. That the Ukraine-Russia war was probably worse than the Iran war.
Okay, so if I specify, let's say the Iran war lasts...
Oh, if it would have dragged on for years?
Not years, maybe like 3 months. Let's say 3 or 4 months. Do you think it'd be worse or the Ukraine war? And I don't mean for like longer time. Obviously, there's geopolitical impact and stuff like that. But like for, let's say, the next 2 to 3 years.
I don't know, because they also exacerbate each other, don't they? Like, as oil gets cut off from the Strait of Hormuz, they've got to buy more from Russia, and supplies are already constrained. It's hard to...
If it gets to winter and it's still cut off, like, shit in Europe is going to be fucked.
So energy prices were already spiking like crazy in Europe in 2022, right? 2023?
Yeah,
okay. Yeah, but I'm thinking oil drought now, or yes. Do you think there's enough?
No.
Sure, so... Metalloid wants to come in and drop a hot take about how the Iranian war is 50 trillion times worse. Just get to your hot take, go.
I was just wondering, because I think that your calculations are off on how politicians in Europe would view the Iran war. I think that you think that the Ukraine situation is much more impactful because of the natural gas and like reliance on energy, whereas the impact from the Hormuz Strait being cut off is much, much, much worse for Europe than Ukraine war would ever be on that kind of aspect.
I don't think it would be as bad. I think there would have been a more holistic plan if Trump was working with partners and there was like a more comprehensive mission. Like, it's unfathomable. It's retarded. I'm having retarded conversations. These are retarded conversations. I can't even believe I have to say this, but it's unfathomable that the United States would start a war with Iran without any concept of what would happen to the Strait of Hormuz. That's like an incomprehensibly fucking retarded statement to say. But I my hope would be that, like, if he's working with allies in Europe or whatever, that somebody would have stopped and said, like, hey, like, we've got plans for this shit, right? But so, yeah.
You're right. And I agree with you. That's the first thing I thought of when I was trying to think of reasons why I shouldn't come in. But like the point would be I don't want to annoy you because I know I'm annoying.
No,
but even if the coalition went into there, the difference between kind of this Iraq and Iran is that like Iran's situation would enable them to cut off the strait no matter what. So even if you had a coalition of literally every single ship in existence in the strait, the military ship, it would still be cut off because ships would just not want to go in there.
Why not? What do you mean? If you could ensure some stability on the ground situation and all of the ports or whatever from Iran into that strait, you don't think they would feel some degree of safety?
No. So at least from talking to tanker people that work in the industry and my opinion, which is mostly from what I've learned of the honesty and stuff like that, and how ships usually react in kind of geopolitical kind of situations, the reality is the best case you're going to get is maybe 30 to like 25% throughput of like the previous levels. If a war is in that area, because...
Well, yeah, but I think that's because you don't have any guarantee. Like, people can say one thing, but who the fuck knows if you're going to start getting blown up or not, right? But my understanding is that, like, Iran is a proper nation state, as much as the U.S. likes to think that everybody brown is a terrorist. Like, Iran is a proper nation state. It's not going to be, like, a ton of, like, crazy guerrilla IEDs on boats, you know, like the Houthi shit or whatever. Like, my guess would be that if you shut down their ports and you actually had, like, a proper, some kind of regime change to your invasion, that you'd be able to ensure some safe level of passage, more so than just a bunch of airstrikes on everything and the U.S. going, trust me, bro, like, it's safe. Like, I do agree that...
The problem with that kind of analysis is, like, you're thinking, like, so from the tanker kind of peer view, so you have to think of this as, like, two different things, because you're thinking of it in, like, the holistic kind of view, which is, you know, well, most people do, of, like, oh, we're going to provide defense, we've got security here, we will literally provide air defense, but from the tanker peer view, they are 20 to 30 million tankers, they have a level of insurance war premium they have to pay, alongside possibility of losing their ship when they go in there. It's just not worth it for them, so they just won't do it. That's what's happening.
Well, I agree,
right now.
But I think the odds would be dramatically different if the odds of you losing that ship was like 0.001% versus like right now it might be like 25%. Like, it wouldn't surprise me, like that the calculations would change pretty dramatically. Because ships are insured right now, and ships are lost to pirating incidents and stuff right now. Like, it doesn't happen.
Well, no, the insurance is different. So the insurance you probably know this, like, intuitively, but insurance changes. Like, there's literally a war insurance premium. Like, for example, in the Red Sea, the insurance premium actually went up because of this war, even though there's been no ships lost or any been shot for the like in this war, right? All of the Yemen shots have gone straight to Israel, but the insurance premium rises and changes depending on the levels. And so in the Hormuz right now, the insurance is ridiculously high, like even if there was a coalition there.
Why would you assume it'd be the same?
When I say the same, for example, the backstops you do, like the insurance relative, like for the tanker, they're not thinking about if you have a war going on, they're not really thinking about insurance when it comes to that kind of thing anymore. Like, so the Red Sea, for example, some tankers might not go through there if the insurance gets too high, but right now it's fine. But the Hormuz, the insurance kind of thing becomes a moot point once you've got war in the area, because they'll just avoid it. Because you have to remember that, like, there's no... Obviously, if the price becomes so high, like ridiculous, there's going to be people. Like, there's in the industry, like Greeks are usually the guys who will take the risk. But it's just easier for them to do some other route that gives them more money. So, for example, right now,
what other route
you can do? Well, there's loads of other routes. Like, so whenever there's loads of oil that's off the supply right now, what we're doing is essentially drawing inventories lower, right? So what you've got is you've got all these other massive long routes, and they can farm so much more money off people because they have to pay for because there's less tankers in the market, right? Because there's some of them are stuck in the trade. And then you've also got like much longer routes because the normal routes can't be done anymore because the Hormuz is cut off, right?
Yeah, but so those longer routes, if the price is driven up too much, then it's just going to become at some point just favorable to run the straight route, no?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If it gets so high, but the for...
What is so high to you, though? Like, is that like $500 a barrel or like $150 a barrel?
It would depend on...
we gamble with the straight here.
The problem is like, we don't know if, like, we don't really know in this scenario with, like, the modern world, because this has never happened before. We can use similar scenarios, like the Mandeb Strait being cut off and stuff like that, but we've never had a scenario where a significant portion of the world oil supply is genuinely just cut from existence, right? And then tankers have to kind of find a... Because refiners will only pay what they believe that they can make a marginal profit on, or they will take a hit if it means keeping the refinery on, because it takes 3 months to get it back online to full throughput, right? So there's like a level of risk they'll take. But if the price would go up to so prohibitively high levels, we don't know if that would like balance out, if you know what I mean. Like, I'm trying to like explain that the refiner and tanker part is like a kind of balancing game. And if it gets too high on one end, you might have refiners not buying anymore. And it might not get high enough for tankers to think the risk is high enough to go to the Strait, even if you had a coalition of troops there. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, everything you're saying makes sense. It just comes down to what the, I guess, like, we're just fighting over some variables, which I can't really quantify.
I just
feel like the relative risk in the Strait of Hormuz would be significantly lower if this was, like, a proper invasion. Like, were oil prices impacted that much when we did our first strike on Iran a year ago or whatever, or 8 months ago, or however long it was?
No, it wasn't at all, because the Strait wasn't closed.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, there are ways to do it. But, like, if we were going to do, like, a full regime change thing, I'm sure, like, prioritizing the safety of that Strait and doing whatever the fuck we needed to would ideally make it safe enough for some kind of passage. Now, if a single ship gets sunk or something, then I guess people might revisit that. But I think whatever is going on there we would have a greater level of success if we were integrated with other allies, if for no other reason, because they would give us some guidance on not being fucking retarded.
Okay, so let's assume, I'm going to give you like the best case scenario. Let's say we assume that you're right, and mm-hmm. And you get like maybe 40% free put, right? The problem is that even in that scenario, like, and I imagine most people would give them this if like a coalition came together and they're like, we're going to talk to industry people like, hey, what do you think is the best case we can do?
Well, I don't, first, I don't know if you would ever have like, what is the throughput right now? Is it like 1%?
No, it's about 5%.
Okay. My guess is like 130. My guess is that these are going to be like bounded values. I don't think you're ever going to have like 50% throughput. My guess is going to be, is that like, if there's like 25 or 30%, like once you hit a certain number, like everybody will go. Like throughput never would never be like 85%, right? Where like almost everybody's going, but like 10% of boats are like,
that does happen. No, because like, for example, the Mandeb Strait was cut off by the Houthis, right? Mm-hmm. And what happened essentially is you had all of the unaligned, like to all of the Western and unaligned ships would basically just go around the Cape of Good. And okay. then all of the Russian Black Fleet and Chinese and Iranian ships, or well, Iran don't really go through there, but like all of the non-like alliance, so Indian, Pakistani, stuff like that, they would go through. So you basically what you had is you had a massive decrease, but you still had like 20% going through. That's what we're
sure. I guess I'm not sure. I just stuff don't know like how that. Substitutable it is to just swap out other tankers. Like in that case, I can understand that because there are alternate routes that people can choose. So it's not an all or nothing. Like they could go around South Africa.
I don't think. But your assumption that if it's like 25%, it's going to be all, it's wrong. Completely wrong.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll see what happens.
But the reasoning I'm trying to get to is the, even if you had like, let's say 50%, the, for Europe at least, let's assume that like no damage is being done to any of the infra and the Saudi or like any of those places. So we're just going to assume that there's first place for it. If you're looking at it from a European perspective, they get about, basically, all of Europe relies on the Gulf, like for their oil, in terms of like the global kind of aspect. So all of Southern Europe relies on refined products from the Gulf. Mm-hmm. So like diesel, gasoline, all that stuff. They don't really make most of it themselves. And then Northern Europe makes a decent amount themselves, but they import basically all the grades that they do need to be able to make the stuff they want from the Gulf. And then you have all of the petrochemicals that they don't make themselves that they have to import as well. If you were to cut off all of that, let's say you were doing full regime change and you're going to go in for there for years, and let's say maybe the biggest impact is like the first 6 months, you're going to probably push every single European country into recession that's going to be very bad. And it would just be structural, because what you're doing is you're basically just taking away supply. You can't replace that. There is no replacement, because with the way the oil industry works right now is you have marginal producers, like, and they are all in the Gulf or America, and America can't produce anymore as it used to because of geological reasons. There's a plateauing point as like when you reach the kind of maximal output of like a basin, and it's not about just more money equals more you can produce.
There's I played Factorio. Yeah, you can only withdraw so much, you only slurp up so much at a time. Sure. Okay,
so yeah, in that scenario it's very unlikely, even in the view in that scenario, that Europe would agree to it, because it's just such detrimentally bad for them. And if you had the Ukraine war as well beforehand, then you're basically destroying their industrial thing that's already been nuked by the Ukraine war and the natural gas like thing. And this isn't even, if you then compare it to the situation right now, one thing I really wanted to ask you is the way you're kind of, I know you're staying away from politics a certain amount, like the kind of keeping up with the real events, but like one thing that's really worrying me is if he goes through this with this energy strikes thing.
He will.
If Trump goes through with energy strikes to Iran? I can't imagine.
That's really actually, now? Would you have said there's no way for him to go into fucking Venezuela?
That's totally different, because there are deposing Maduro doesn't take off Venezuela's like oil production or refinement completely offline or whatever.
Fellow debaters.
He doesn't give a fuck. My feeling is that like one of the only things that Trump responds to are like huge market signals. Markets, and I feel like if he starts to like hardcore go after Iranian infrastructure like that, I feel like enough people around will be like, whoa, hold on there, chief. That'd be my feeling.
Let me check the market today.
Okay, sorry. So to be clear, I don't know what he's going to do. I realized I have some level of Trump derangement in him, the fact that like, I'm very doomed right now, and it's like really hard not to be, because like the situation when we're is terrible. It's way worse. We've never had a crisis like this ever, and I genuinely mean that. The 1970s was like 5 to 10% of oil supply off like offline. Mm-hmm. We're at 20% now, and it's been a month. And when you have these wells shut, it's not just like it comes back online. Like, it takes months to bring this back online. Yep. There's refineries that hit. Pretty much every refinery in the Middle East has been hit. It's going to take months to bring those back online and repair them. There's 20% of the natural gas gone. There's 30% of the helium gone. There's so many aspects. And then if he's going to go in there and he destroys all of their energy infrastructure, it would be the biggest humanitarian crisis in existence. There's 90 million people
in
the
country. Yeah, it's a fuck ton of people. You're looking at, like, a Syrian refugee crisis on steroids, potentially.
It would be way worse.
You've got
steroids. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Plus, and to bring the country online.
I could see
online,
him doing this, because he hates NATO right now. He could literally just destroy all the infrastructure, say it's a win and leave, and he would be, well, I can't argue against it. My argument is it's crazy and it's insane, but
the reason why I think he'll do it is because in the last week we're up 4%, which means he waited till Tuesday for this, because my guess is he wanted to see the market on Monday, and the market didn't move a ton, so I think that he's going to be like, oh, well, the market's fine, it's already clocked in, so I don't know, we'll see.
It's very worrying right now, because it's kind of like last year. Do you remember when tariffs are happening? And do you remember when he was saying and all of this admin were kind of signaling to the people that we're going to do tariffs, we're going to do really insane tariffs, but everyone was kind of playing them down? And then 2 weeks before, he was there was reports of saying that from the New York Times and Wall Street Journal, they're going actually insane. The stuff we've seen is ridiculous. They're going to do insane shit. And everyone was it's probably going to be 10%. And then the market thought that, and it bid up into the event. And then he brought out a board and it said 30%, 60%. It was and then it just died.
Ridiculous.
That's what it feels like right now. We're I said, okay, I'm trying really hard not to be TDS, and I realize it is. But it feels like right now, when the market's at this point, it's barely down. It's 5% from all-time highs, right? There's credit spread to find. There's basically no stress in the markets at all. If he's right now, we're going to be out in a week or two, I'm just going to bomb all of their infrastructure and then just dip. What in his history shows that he would not do this? His generals are all fucking retards, apparently. They're all telling him he can do whatever he wants. He said that he wants to go in and get the uranium out with an exfiltration thing and just excavate the fucking thing. In the middle of a country of 90 million people that's hostile to you with ballistic missiles. I can't see the scenario. And it's so... Are we sitting on the precipice right now? Tomorrow he's going to decide that we're suddenly going to have 90 million people that are looking for a new place to stay. It's so crazy to me.
Yeah, I mean, I hope not. I guess we'll see. Yeah, it feels inconceivable to me, but
that's the same. Yeah.
You know what? Go consult the Polymarket. What does Polymarket say?
Well, the Polymarket says there is no Polymarket for this. It's there's 60%.
Really? They draw the line here?
No. There's one for US invasion, but I don't think there's one for him destroys all of their infrastructure. I don't know if there is one actually of that. But the worst part is even with that happening, the current situation, if we had to go on for 2 to 3 more weeks, is still absolutely insane. And this is going to have massive impacts for the next few years. This isn't going to just end tariffs. He can't just switch this back off. The oil that was being produced has been shut in. The wells have been capped. The pressure is building in those things and they get wasted. And all of that oil is now it's gone from existence forever, from the future. And all of the oil that we're using up in inventories around the world, strategic reserves and all that, that's going to have to be built back up. That's all gone now. And all of the infrastructure in the Middle East that's been destroyed, all of that has to come back online. This all has huge ramifications. Everyone's just sitting here in Twilight Zone where it's gasoline's been up a bit. Right now, Germany is the highest prices ever for petrol. It's going to hit Europe way harder than it hits America. America is fine. They can ban exports and destroy the rest of the world and just stay fine. But it's so crazy how people are just, sorry, I'll leave.
I agree. It's pretty, everything about this is pretty fucking stupid. So yeah, I guess we'll see what
happens. Well, maybe Europe should have got involved. Maybe Trump was right.
/Trump-ass, true.
Oh yeah, sorry. I just wanted to, the idea of the point, what I was saying, obviously, I know I'm just sewing out right now, but I really do recommend looking at the Ukraine war versus the Iran thing in a different level, because when it comes to Europe, the dependency on the Gulf is way larger. You can replace all of the natural gas imports that we got from Russia with coal plants that we just turned back on. You cannot replace oil because you can't use coal to replace marine fuel that you need for tankers. You cannot use coal for the gasoline, the diesel that you need to run trucks or all that stuff, right?
Okay.
So it's not replaceable. And that's the reason why it's really important. Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, damn. Well, shit's fucked.
What do you want me to say?
What do you want me to say? It's bad. Not good.
I like him. He's respectful.
Like your mom.
Really now?
Yeah.
Irish exit.
That's racist, Dan. You can't say that.